We'd like to give a warm welcome to our presenter today, Dr. Dave Cornelius. Dr. Dave is an experienced IT and business professional and a globally recognized lean and agile catalyst who empowers others to achieve their very best. He specializes in coaching, training, leading co-located and distributed teams to deliver quality innovations from concept to cash. Dave has also held several leadership roles where he helped transform IT into a partner with other groups within the organization. He is also the founder of the Five Saturdays program and leads the group's leadership council. Good morning, Dave. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you doing this morning?
I am fabulous, Denise. How are you?
I am fabulous. One day closer to the weekend and ready to learn some new stuff from you.
Well, I'm ready to stop. Well, good morning, everyone out there. Well, I know it's afternoon somewhere. Maybe even evening somewhere, but in my world, where I am, it is morning. So we always begin our segment with questions from the audience, and Scott, in our last presentation, which was Agile Portfolio, he asked, how do we measure alignment so that we know where we are? So I decided to give this great big response that says, you begin by sharing strategic goals with the masses, people in the organization. The strategic goals become strategic themes that are placed in a portfolio backlog and are represented as business systems and architectural epics, big things that we have to do. We want to apply lean thinking and agile practice to build transparency. Everyone is aware of what's going on. We'll use the two-day big room planning to engage the builders of things, which is the software developers and testers, with the strategic themes and epics and features. We want to also measure for value to ensure people are informed and take ownership. We want to review frequently, pretty much at mid-quarter, end of quarter, to ensure that the delivered work is equal to the committed work. We just have to be on topic and make sure that we bring everyone together for this great discussion. And I hope this satisfies Scott and everyone else who run into this question, which is a great question, by the way. Here are our topics for today. We're going to give a little intro about the land of Narnia, talk about DevOps, IT service management, which is ITSM, talk about the integration of DevOps and IT service management, and also we will look at the different tools and how we integrate those. Furthermore, at the conclusion of this presentation, we want you to be able to apply DevOps in your environment. You know, connect DevOps with IT service management and be successful, and become tool aware to support DevOps and IT service management integration. But in the land of Narnia, the happy land of Narnia, an hour's life there is better than 1,000 years in Calormen. Calormen is the land of volcanoes and the great desert. Narnia is the land of magic and goodwill, the golden age of prosperity in what we seek. So here we have users and stakeholders, developers and testers, and IT operations working together for the good of the customer and organization. Now imagine the lion Aslan leading our DevOps transformation. You know, after many years of winter, there are summers to come somewhere above and yonder. Aslan said, "This may be harder than you think. This may be harder than you think. We have work to do." The magic found in Narnia is the automated tests and scripts we create for testing and deployment. The magical automation removes impediments and reduce risk to our land of Narnia. Is this a dream or a dream of dreams? So I figured I would do this small little monologue to get us started, to start talking about what businesses want from software. So business users of our software do not care about the conflicts between the builders of things, which is the software developers and testers and IT operation. They just want high quality software that enables them to get work done faster. Business users of our software want software that is resilient and highly available. They also want new features without delay. They really do not want to wait around for us to get things done for them. And also, they want to make sure that they want to get things to market as quickly as possible and have a great satisfactory service. You know, it's really that simple for business users. It's not all the things that we care about. So the goal of the software product teams, obviously, is that most software product teams want to build a quality software and deploy that software to the production environment with little or no resistance. You know, software development, some may argue, is more art than science. And as a former software engineer, I beg to differ in that argument, because there's a science in creating software. There is design, there's build and tests. In science, there's hypotheses, which is design, experiment, which is build, and analyze and draw a conclusion, which is test. So there you go. There is some science in software engineering and development. And so as the software product teams, they want to go forward and test as a team and really release software and make sure they can get those things to production and really monitor the health of what's going on with their systems. So what started the conflict? The wonderful conflict between developers and IT service management. So it began with the fact that once most software engineers, as they build things, there was a small amount of errors, or sometimes some most people would say that there's lots of errors. And then there's also this a tremendous amount of manual operations. So when developers had lost access to the production environment due to poor quality that really disrupted the business, the business just couldn't deal with it anymore. So the IT operations group created an environment of no to protect the business function from unstable software. Not to mention the IT operations group made sure they could sleep at night and at the weekends. And if anyone actually worked in a software environment where you have to push code to production and have to support it, you would know that you may be up late nights and weekends. But also in the process, there's a tremendous amount of documentation, evidence of quality that's required. And fundamentally, you have the handoffs and the queues, different queues that you have to wait for approval and more validation. Now, in non-DevOps environment, the builders of things, which I call software developers and testers, believe that they create perfect software. When it's time to move the software to production, the first step is to perform integration testing, which require a ticket in most environments that is placed in a queue for approvals. After approval is granted, some manual test is performed and some integration, and then there is another ticket that has to be raised, which could take up to 2 to 14 days. It all depends. So you can see the queuing and the wait time between integration and production could be almost 19 days. I mean, at the lower end, you may get it in 4 days, but that's just the process and the way things go in a non-DevOps environment. Now, there's this whole thing, we look at the impediments to value, where we have software development in an enterprises and business organization. Think of it as a cross-functional team endeavor. Barriers and chasms between the cross-functional teams that need to integrate in delivering software are the top impediments that hinder value delivery. The impediments are usually a manifestation of rigid processes, ineffective collaboration tools, and development practices that really do not take advantage of the advances in technology and the opportunities to better integrate systems and teams. So you think of the results, you think of increased cycle time, increased costs. You know, you have a series of dissatisfied users and just really lost value opportunities. These are the things that happen when we have a lot of delays in the process of getting things done. But what does DevOps really promise? DevOps has a great sense of promise where it says, we want to optimize the whole. And it begins with a simple lean principle called optimize the whole. They look to reduce friction and increase cooperation between users and stakeholders, developers and testers, and IT operations. We want to make sure that we can do things faster deployment, get things to production, reduce the queue time, make sure we can get things faster to market. Look at continual integration, where as we're building software, we do not have to wait to the end of the week. We can do it every hour, every minute that we have finished software and it's ready to go. This is really a great thing. And then also continuous deployment, where we remove the impediments to deploy finished software to customers as frequently as needed with the highest quality. So full-on automation that takes place. And this is what DevOps promises. But this doesn't happen overnight. We have to get in there and build trust and collaboration. Now, the one thing that I think about is that the only way to allow DevOps to work is to build trust and collaboration between the users and stakeholders, developers and testers, and IT operation. And I think one way to do this is through what I call big room planning, or what a lot of people in the industry call big room planning. And this is one of the concepts that come from the Scale Agile framework called SAFE, to practice and enable alignment, transparency, and collaborations. So users and stakeholders, product owners, IT operations service managers attend a pre-big room planning meeting to define the priorities to the product owner. And so I call this the quarterly planning readiness meeting, where they come and start to share that information back with the product owners as what they want to do. Now, as we go through and we get into the big room planning, those product owners share with the developers and testers the upcoming work for the next quarter. The two-day big room planning meeting is where product owners, users and stakeholders, and developers and testers, and IT operations come together to elaborate work to the smallest level. The goal is to identify what work is slotted into each two-week sprint. And if most of you have been listening to my talks here, it's more about agile and lean thinking. So the goal is to identify what work is in a two-week sprint, and in a quarter, when you think about it, there's normally about a 6 two-week sprint. So at the end of each sprint, there's a sprint review and a demo that enables review of completed work. So since the cadence in itself is for releases are fixed at a quarterly boundary, so release planning in itself can happen at any point, which really just talks about when do we move software to production. So IT operations is invited to participate as a partner in release planning events. So as you can see, there's a great stream and a system that's will be put in place to encourage collaboration, conversations, people meeting face-to-face to have a dialogue about what needs to get done. So you think of a DevOps environment, there's great things happening. You have synergy between teams. You know, you only build once and you can deploy as many times as necessary. You have a great set of automated tools and testing scripts, and you can also get things deployed automatically through these different scripts. So this is a great opportunity for everyone who's a part of that ecosystem to work and share together. So let's start with our first group engagement. And Denise, here is our first question for our teams to see exactly if they've been paying attention or they've been hanging out taking a snooze. So one of the things, here's the first group engagement that says, you know, select the activity that does not contribute to DevOps. And so Denise is going to open up a poll, and in that poll you will have an opportunity to select the right answer or the answer that you think is right.
All right, guys. So let's go ahead and close our poll, and let's check out your answers. All right. So 23% of you said A, optimize the entire process, 4% said B, continuous integration, 17% said C, continuous deployment, and a big 56% said D, daily status meetings. What do you think, Dave? What's the correct answer here?
Well, the correct answer is D, daily status meeting. Daily status meetings really do not add much value to the DevOps process at all. It's really critical for us to integrate and get things going. Okay, so what's really critical for DevOps success? So I believe that we have to get involved with lean and agile practices to get us there. Though some people in the agile world will scoff at IT service management, I said that it's critical and it's important for large organizations to be able to throttle and really manage the work that's coming through, because it's more than software. There's a lot more that's going on in an enterprise than just building software. So this is a great process that deals with incident and change management. We need software tools and platforms to enable us to get things done. And you know, we want to make sure that IT ops have a backlog, and that could be manifested in a product like ServiceNow. Automated tests and deployments are key, and full integration between the software tools and platforms. So we would like to minimize the amount of manual work that we're doing. So here's a list of some tools that I think that is really critical for us. In the space that I plan, you know, we use Microsoft Team Foundation Server called TFS, and we use that for version control and a whole lot of other things. Visual Studio and Release Manager, which is also integrated with TFS, which is really a cool way of building software and getting those things out to market. ServiceNow is a platform that allows IT ops to really manage, you know, different changes that comes to the organization. It's a way for members of the organization to request service from IT ops, and I think that's a critical area for people to use as a backlog. Now, one of the things is TFS and ServiceNow do not automatically integrate with each other, so we have to get another tool like TaskTop, which will help you with integration. You could also use PowerShell scripting, which is a great way if you do not want to invest or you have the resources in-house to build some of these products. Well, you know, PowerShell scripting would help. Puppet is another tool that you would need to provision your environment and really maintain what I call versions of what's going on with your deployment. And I know this is a long list, but now we have the .com Synthetic Transaction Monitor. And that tool helps you to validate if your systems are up or not. So a synthetic transaction would be something like log in to the application, which would allow you to put data, the username and password, press the submit button, and get a valid screen back that says, yes, you've been able to log in. So that's a synthetic transaction. And you can script that and run that every minute, every hour, or several times per day. Now, there's another tool that I think is really critical called AppDynamics that could monitor your whole entire platform end-to-end, so you could see the transactions and the user interactions with your systems and record that. I think that's really critical to help us to move forward with our process. But when we think of DevOps, most people only speak of continuous integration and continuous development. So let's talk about continuous integration. So continuous integration, where we have a wonderful developer here who goes through the process of designing, developing, testing, and ensuring that they deploy, but this helps her to integrate all of her software together with whatever all of the other developers are building, right? And so when you think of one or more teams integrating finished software frequently, as frequently as they need to, we have a common repository used to execute automated builds. We have a series of a backlog of great automated tests that people could borrow, they could use, you know, and continue to build so that we could test quality without sitting there manually trying to test your system. And one of the key things with having automated tests is that we could frequently inspect and adapt to see exactly, hey, what problems are we running into early instead of waiting until the very end in a traditional sense where you spend time maybe within 9 months and then you throw the code over the fence to your QA team and there they are drowning. Now everyone can be fully integrated, testing, validated as frequently as they need to, and oftentimes it happens multiple times per day. Now, when we think of continuous deployment, which is the other side of the fence, so we deploy as often as needed. And so when you think about the process of the developer going through integration into deployment, so you could configure your routing servers and validate data automatically. You could deploy code and validate, you know, how successful are we with our deployments? You get to try this multiple times in a day, in a week, in a month. It just depends on the team and that level of agreement that you have. Easy validation by running a smoke test or a system test. These are all automated as well. So you click the button and there you go. I deployed. I configured my system. I deployed and make sure that I could test it, and then I could measure and share the results back with the leadership. Critical as part of the we have continuous integration, continuous deployment, and I think IT service management plays a key role in what goes on, especially in enterprises. In smaller organizations, you may be able to just get away with continuous integration and continuous deployment, but I think as the organization become larger, we have to be concerned with things of change. And because you have so much change going on in the organization, in systems, that we may need to evaluate and schedule the changes in systems. Incident management. I know some places say we're going to leverage our teams to do all of that work, but I think that you need somewhere where you could identify and correct system impediments, and that's with the help of the team, but it's great to have an incident coordinator and have one system where you could capture all of that information. Fundamentally, is we need release management, because if we have 20, 30, 50, 100 systems, we have to schedule those changes into our production systems. And it would be crazy to have 100 systems trying to go all at once without understanding the impact and the effect in the organization. And more importantly is to have service asset and configuration management is what we call SACM. Right? And so this is where you could identify and track system changes to the production environment and even other environments like your non-production environment. So your dev environment, I think those are all critical, that we are able to track those changes on and really have a historical view of what took place. So here we are at group engagement number two. And here we are, we're asking the question, DevOps and IT service management are not compatible. So Denise, let's poll our audience and see what they have to say.
Guys, let's check out our results.
Yeah, see what people are thinking or if they're paying attention today.
All right, so 13% said true and 87% said false.
All right, I think everyone is on task today. So that is the correct answer, false. DevOps and IT service management are compatible. And to prove that, I'm going to walk you through DevOps and IT service management integration, and we will look at this through a change in incident stimulus that's coming in to our environment. So, yeah, this is a lot of boxes and a lot of circles, so pay attention. I'll try to keep it as simple as possible, and hopefully this will be something that you can go back and use in terms of when it's time for you to take on DevOps as a practice and integrate it with IT service management. You can use this as a value add. Now, so when we think of change, this is something that's stimulated by new or updated software. Critical is that as people are building software, the developers and testers, where they go through the process of designing, developing, testing, and doing a deployment, right? And so if we're using TFS as our Agile Lifecycle Management tool, ALM, we have a work item that really tells us, hey, it's time for us to get some release our software after it's built. The second thing is that we have to request a change ticket. And instead of going through and manually typing that in to ServiceNow, if we build strong integrations, I could just create this work item in TFS, which then uses Tasktop as an integrator and create that ticket in ServiceNow for me, which is really a powerful thing. So in one click or one setup, I'll be able to tap into another system and to initiate change and get the change agents, the people who are involved with approving those tickets, to get involved, which is IT ops. And so within that work item, that release work item, there should be enough information that someone could approve the ticket and really update the SACOM, right, the Service Asset and Configuration Management. Now, after that's done, you can see the loopback or the feedback loop where that approved ticket is sent back to TFS through Tasktop, and now we have the Agile Lifecycle Management release item updated. Now the team, the developer says, okay, yeah, I made a request. I got a round trip back that says that, hey, everything is approved. It's time for us to move forward with the next level of change. So as we continue, we said, now let's go ahead and build our software where we have with this tool called Release Manager in TFS, where we're able to go ahead and build our software. And if there's any database actions that we need to take place, then we could create those database scripts with PowerShell. Right? And so once we're done, and now that we have approval, now we could go forward and say, okay, Release Manager, let me click this button. I'll run these DB scripts. And in that process, go ahead and ask this tool called Puppet to provision our environment. And so whatever changes we have to make to our development environment, you know, Puppet will go ahead and take a snapshot of what's the current configuration, and let's call that revision one. Now we make some updates to the environments where maybe we're expanding memory, maybe we're actually changing one of our log files. Now that information can automatically be captured and pushed in back to ServiceNow, where we're going, like, oh yeah, let's make sure that we update our Service Asset and Configuration Management, that we understand what changes took place. So as you can see, the release management is updated, so we know exactly what took place, and we're capturing that as a historical track and versioning of what's going on in our system. So if we have to roll back, we can come back and say, oh yeah, we know what took place. Let's go ahead and roll back to the previous good state that we're aware of, or stable state. Now, as we go through and execute some of these actions, then the release manager now has the capability of doing a deployment to production. We could run automated tests because we've already created them over the period of time. As we've been building software, we've been doing automated tests, automated smoke tests. We could even do certain levels of performance tests that you can run automatically in there. Now, once that's done, you know, that gives us the ability, it says, okay, deployment is good, everything's worked out, the test is passed. Now, we could have the Agile Lifecycle Management work item and make sure that item is closed out. Now, we can use Tasktop to enable the update, and finally, here we are. We have our ticket closed in ServiceNow. A full release, all done with several clicks, and also enabled through scripting and automation. This is the magic that we speak of in Narnia. This is the magic where teams are given the opportunity to be able to work together in a collaborative way and get things done. No more manual tests, having to spend all weekend waiting to get work through the environment. This is something that we could automate and get that done and ensure that quality is built in. So, you know, there are some organizations who push changes through every 11 seconds. Could you imagine updating your environment every 11 seconds, pushing new changes out for customers, delighting customers in a way that it's really a dream of dreams? But through DevOps, this totally gives us the opportunity to get there. But let's look at another stimulus. Wait, let me not go so fast. I have to always check in to see exactly, since this is such a big thing, that big presentation, I think I have to engage our group again to really ask you another question. Is it true or false that DevOps work best with integrated tools? So, Denise, let's see what our audience has to say about that.
Okay, let's check out our results here. Alright, so 95% said true and 5% said false.
All right, you guys who are paying attention, who had your coffee or something else, the answer is true. That is absolutely true. Well, let's look at the other stimulus where we have business operation that's disrupted by software system impediments. This happens quite frequently. It's something that we have to deal with because human beings build software, and since that's the case, we know it's not perfect. So let's walk through what happens in incident and how we're still using DevOps and its techniques in this full-scale automation to capture and record what took place in the production environment, engaging the incident team, or I call it where we have an escalation matrix of developers and testers and different others, where you have product owners, or maybe even the scrum master involved in the process, that when things are broken, everyone is engaged. And so let's assume that we have a P1 ticket coming in. So in our P1 ticket, the first thing that you can see is that a ticket will be created in ServiceNow. And since we have this great integration with TaskTop, ServiceNow could then fire off a message over to TFS and said, hey, let's create an Agile Lifecycle Management, or ALM, bug work item. Now, two great things that takes place is, since we have a centralized way of capturing tickets or creating tickets for when there are incidents and really engaging the teams. Now, this bug work item is something that could sit there for a while until the teams get through the process. Now, with this heavy integration, the teams work through this process to really identify what's going on, what's broken. And so as a small little scrum team working through this process with IT ops, everyone is integrated. They're collaborating. People are, the users and stakeholders are notified and aware of what's taking place, because obviously if they're using the system, they know it's broken. But if we're constantly communicating back and forth with them, this will help them to stay engaged. As part of that process, the teams work to resolve and close that bug item. And so as they get things done over time and work within their specific service level agreement, or SLA, and they get that resolved, then they can actually close that bug work item, and through TaskTop goes back and tell ServiceNow, okay, it's time to close the incident. Let's continue with our communication out to the greater population so that they're aware that changes have taken place and the incident is resolved and everything, all is good, all is well. But once that is done, and so it may have been just a workaround or a temporary fix, we have to engage our chain stimulus. And we walked through our chain stimulus before, which gave us a perspective of how we can get things done. So I'm going to back up just so we just do a quick run through of making change again. And so when we think of this wonderful chain stimulus, as we spoke to before, is that we go back through and make sure that we could begin to tell the systems to create a change ticket, that our change ticket gets approved. This gives us a way to come back in and update our service asset and configuration management system so we know what changes are in place. This goes back and update TFS as well to let it know that we have some work to get released, and we have this ALM item that's really updated as well. if there are any kind of scripts or database changes, you could do that. If not, then we may just go ahead and build new software because it's time. We have come up with a final change to the system because essentially we've only created a workaround. Now that goes back and update our service asset and configuration management. Make sure that we tell the release management, yes, we know what needs to be changed. Let's make sure that's scheduled, and that schedule could be something that's part of what we would call a pre-approved list and get things done automatically without having to go to a change activity board or CAB. Then we can make sure that we run things to make sure that they're deployed to production. We automate a test. Our systems, everything is good. We close that work item. We go back through and tell ServiceNow, hey, it's okay to close that change ticket. So in one full sweep, we went from engaging incident management, which then took us back to our change stimulus. Right, there's something that we had to get done within our system. So, again, since this is a big wonky presentation with lots of boxes and arrows and circles, I wanted to engage you again to find out, after incident management, what IT service management or ITSM process would you use? So let's poll the audience against Denise and see what they have to say.
Hey guys, take a couple seconds to cast in your vote. Is it A, change management, B, release management, C, service asset and configuration management, or D, none of the above? All right, let's check out your answers. All right, so we have 48% of you said A, change management, 21% said B, release management, 28% said C, service asset and configuration management, and 3% said none of the above. So what's the correct answer, Dave?
Well, the correct answer is A, change management. And so there was a reason why I looped back after incident to go back into change so that everyone is aware that, yeah, once after there's an incident, we have to initiate the change process. Because obviously either if there's a truly an incident, then we have to do something to make sure that our systems are whole and our customers are able to use our systems to get great value. So in summary, I could tell you in the land of Narnia, you know, automation is magical, where systems are able to integrate with each other, people are able to integrate each other without a lot of to-do and really problems in terms of things failing without knowing, because everyone is aware, everyone is engaged. You know, Aslan the Lion is pleased with our collaboration. And the reason is that because our customers are able to receive that resilient software systems that they so crave to make sure they could get the work done. Furthermore, is that DevOps include IT service management. I think it's critical for us to be able to get there. So now I will open up for questions about our presentation and perhaps DevOps in general and IT service management. And I'll do my best to get you a quick response now. Otherwise, I will send you the answers in our next presentation or on my blog. So Denise, let's have a conversation with our audience about different questions that they may have.
All right. So, yeah, guys, send in your questions right now. We have a lot of time for Q&A. It's a perfect time. And here's our first question. Is there something for batch process integration on Unix and Linux environment?
I would say there is an integration. A lot of these systems, you know, like there is, and I work in a Windows environment. I mean, I'm aware of what's out there in terms of you could use Chef as one integration tool, which is would be similar to the release manager in TFS. You obviously could use Git, GIT, for really managing versions, and Puppet also works across platform, and so and PowerShell scripting also works across platform. So, I mean, there's a few. So now with that, you just have an environment where you could version control, you could deploy to production, you could do updates, and so remember, most of our world now is moving to, you know, software as a service or platform as a service. So in terms of whether it's Linux or Unix or Windows, most of these systems are cross-platform. So, you know, I would, you know, you look at some of the things that I've mentioned and go out there and see what you could discover on your own through Google. But yeah, there's lots of rich tool set right now that would enable you to build a fully integrated environment, whether you're running Windows or running a Linux environment.
Awesome. Thank you for your answer. Here's your next question. Is DevOps a process or a concept like Agile methodology?
DevOps, it is both. You know, Agile is both. I mean, DevOps is concepts and also a practice and framework for automation and integration. And so, I mean, it was born out of the world or embraced out of the world of the Agile practitioner, because as we build software, what would end up happening is that we would run into the wall of what we would call waterfall. You know, you have these great sprints and you're building software and everything is finished, and then all of a sudden you have to wait 19 days to move your software into production. Well, why not make the whole system, optimize the whole system, and make sure that we use lean thinking and leverage the value that Agile brings. So you can see that DevOps is both a mixture of agility and lean thinking, but also what it really speaks to, several things, is that it speaks to the collaboration of people who are involved with making sure that from the time the customer has a demand to when it's built and released, that it's seamless. It's a great integration and this great cooperation and collaboration. So yeah, it's both of those things in terms of it being an ideology or and a practice as well.
Thank you. And next question, for automation, what is the tool used for Beth job testing?
For automated testing, one thing, you know, the Microsoft Test Manager is one tool that you could leverage, but you also have things like Selenium and Test Complete, other tools that you could leverage to build your test cases and issue a test plan, and also just run your automated tests. So those are a couple things. I mean, if you go back to I think that's what I would recommend right now in terms of using Microsoft Test Manager, which is part of the whole TFS model, but also you have Selenium and Test Complete, which are another offering that you could use to get your software automatically tested.
Thank you. And next question. Have some tips on how to get your DevOps team and your IT team to get along.
one of the slides that I built in there is building trust and collaboration, and I think that happens when we have more face-to-face discussions and we have a good healthy framework to do that. So I talk about the big room planning model that we use, and that big room planning really help us to get to that space where we could have the business users, the builders of things, and IT ops all in the same space for 2 days. I mean, it's you know, people breaking bread, meal together, having discussions about what is the big vision and objective of the organization, driving that level of alignment, to me certainly begin to change the culture and the way we interact with each other. Because one of the big problems is the barriers, the isolation. I write some code, I throw it over the wall, the testers get it, they're done, we throw it over the wall, it goes to IT ops. And, well, they were never involved in the process in the first place. Wouldn't it be awesome that they're engaged and involved in helping us to understand some of the pitfalls of the environments? And if we don't pay attention to certain things, it could certainly be damaging to the organization. So that dialogue, that conversation, that integration really helps tremendously.
Thank you. I think a follow-up to that, I would like to know, what about QA? How important do you think that communication is between once, I guess, they release, or they, you know, once the developers do their part, you know, what are the next steps between QA and them? Like, should that communication still be just as strong, or do you have any tips on that?
Well, we're doing agile. So since we're in an agile space, there's no, you know, in my group, what I'm beginning to do is that there's no such thing as QA. Everyone tests. And so the person who's the designated test engineer, which is QA, they're very much involved in the process. And so we do this whole concept of pairing where everything is built around design, build, test, or design, develop, test. And in that process, the test engineers or QA people are involved. They're there to help talk about, look at the code, look at the idea, the concepts, to begin to advise. And in some cases, the testers themselves are developers. They get engaged and write code as well. And so they're involved in the process beginning to end. Like my teams, they're unable to estimate or said how much effort it will take to get work done without the involvement of QA. So it's not like, oh, the developers write things and throw it over the wall to the testers. It doesn't work that way in most agile spaces, and certainly not in my space. The developers and the testers work together to determine how much effort it would take, and the only way that the test they're able to come up with that is because they all have to be involved with the design of the software. They all have to be involved with the building, because sometimes that test engineer could help build automated unit tests, which could then be moved to automated functional tests, which then gets expanded out to automated smoke tests and system tests. So as you can see, QA is always involved. They're not an afterthought. They have a seat at the table.
Thank you. And just one more question before we close. What metrics work best for improving performance and DevOps incentives?
Well, there's several metrics that people look at. If we were able to measure the amount of cooperation, that would be a real awesome thing, wouldn't it? But since it's hard for us to measure the amount of cooperation or collaboration between the users and stakeholders, developers and testers, and IT operations, I think the next thing you can look at is the number of deployments and the time that it takes to get deployed, the number of impediments or defects that are associated with each deployment. I think also just the time that it takes to look at when you're pushing systems or changes to the system out. I mean, if you look at the full value stream from the time you're ready to deploy to standing up a ticket and make sure that it's approved to allow change into the production environment and getting the software there, to me that's critical. Because, I mean, how do we become that organization that has the capability of being where you could do actually 11 seconds deployment? You know, deploy new software to production every 11 seconds, that requires a tight integration. So, I mean, those are the things that you could measure from a DevOps perspective. But if you expand it, you know, out a little further to include IT service management, so, I mean, a great thing that everyone wants to look at is the mean time between failure. When I did a deployment, when is the next time that we had a failure in the system that's even related to that or previous other deployments? So that gives us a nice scope or set of metrics that we can look at in terms of, you know, how frequently can we deploy, how long does it take for us to deploy, how many defects do we have with that deployment, and what's the space and time between a deployment and the next failure. So that should give you a small subset and just the quality of the work that we produce.
Thank you so much. So I think that's it for now. And I'll let you do some of your closing slides, and we only have a couple more minutes. So.
Okay. So get out and check out knowledgeshare.org. We have lots of cool services that perhaps you guys could leverage for your organization, and we could be of help to you. I have a book and a game. The book is Transforming Your Leadership Character, The Lean Thinking and Agility Way. Also, you could get the game Agility Leadership at Amazon.com. And here's just a great opportunity for collaborative learning. For those of you who are really keen in giving back to your community and organization, check out our Five Saturdays program. This is where we empower students with agility and innovation. We teach them agile, lean thinking, software development skills. So in essence, we are a STEAM program. So check it out. Go to fivesaturdays.org, the number fivesaturdays.org, and perhaps even donate and learn more. I run a podcast. It's called KnowledgeShare with Dr. Dave, and you could find that in iTunes and Google Play. Also, you could visit grokshare.com, and most of the topics is from different industry professionals that I interview. Like today, I'm running off to another Agile conference at UCI. I'll be interviewing people there and capturing their thoughts and their experiences, and I share that back with our audience. And so just go to www.knowledgeshare.org to learn more about KnowledgeShare, or reach out on Twitter at KnowledgeShare or Dr. Dave Info. I believe that's it for me. And, you know, thank you graciously for attending today. And I just look forward to hearing from you, and know that if you have any questions, go ahead and fire them to Denise, and I will definitely respond and provide that information back to you. Thank you. Have a great day.
Yes, thank you, Dave. Some great questions today. And if we didn't get to your questions today, Dave will get back to you, or we will also address those questions in the first segment of our next webinar. Right, Dave?
Yes, Denise, for sure, for sure.
And we will see you next time.
Thank you, Denise.
Look for the KnowledgeShare with Dr. Dave podcast on iTunes and Google Play. The KnowledgeShare with Dr. Dave podcast is hosted on grokshare.com. If you have any questions for Dr. Dave, reach out on Twitter at Dr. Dave Info or at KnowledgeShare. This podcast and interview produced by Dr. Dave Cornelius. Copyright 2016 KnowledgeShare.
You grok share?
I grok it, and I'll share. Every day, every day. Until next time, pursue goodness, share, and learn.